we are looking at people that have the gift of giving, but later on we're going to look at the fact that all of us can participate in giving. So if someone has the gift of giving, what does that mean? Well, in your notes you can read that it's the divine sensitivity to recognize needs in the body and the ability to meet those needs with joyfulness and liberality.
Hello and welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of The Gift of Giving. So please open your Bible to the book of Romans, chapter 12 and verse 8b, as we rejoin Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Gift of Giving.
This morning with our spiritual gift series, and one of the objectives that we have is to help every member of our church to identify what their spiritual gift is. We want people operating in the area of their giftedness. We find that when people operate according to their spiritual gift, that there's little frustration and there's a lot of enjoyment when we understand what it is that we're supposed to be doing. Well, this morning, we've come, if you open in your Bibles, to Romans, the 12th chapter. We've been coming out of Romans chapter 12. And if you open in your Bibles to that passage of Scripture. And as we look at Romans chapter 12, we come to what we find is a very sensitive gift today, and that is the gift of, you said it, giving. The gift of giving. You know, when we were talking about encouragement and teaching and ministering, oh, you know, those were some gifts that we all were excited about. Now we talk about the gift of giving. And somebody will say, you know, Pastor, you know, it seems like every time I come to Bethany that you're talking about giving. Well, you know what? If that's the case, then you only come once a year. Because I only preach a giving message once a year. All right, once a year. Go back and check the records now. Just one time a year. So you just happen to be here on the Sundays that I'm preaching on giving. But actually, this is really not a message about individual giving, but this is talking about people with the gift of giving. And so he says in Romans chapter 12, beginning of verse 3, he says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with liberality." And so the message today is talking about the gift of giving. Just a quick overview as to where we've come from so far. We've talked about all the gifts, and we actually have broken down the gifts into three areas. We said that when you look at the New Testament, you know, there are three areas of giftedness. There's performing gifts, there's perceiving gifts, and there's power gifts. Okay, the ones that we have been focusing on, if you'll go back to that first slide there, Brother Ted, the ones that we have been focusing on are the performing gifts. And so we said that under the performing gifts, they are listed under two categories, and that is verbal and nonverbal, especially as we look here in Romans chapter 12. Under the verbal, we see that there's prophecy, teaching, and exhortation, which we have already talked about these. Under the nonverbal, we see that they're serving, and we're looking at giving today, ruling, and mercy, and we're also going to look at pastor shepherd. Now, as we move on to the perceiving and preparing gifts, we have just listed these so that you'll know that they're there. All right, once again, we could do a whole study on all the gifts in the New Testament, but our focus is on the gifts that move people out into service. And so as we look at these gifts right here, we see that there's the word of wisdom, the gift of wisdom, and that's that insight to apply God's word in a specific situation. There's the word of knowledge or the gift of knowledge, and that's the divine enablement to bring truth to the body through a revelation or biblical insight. Some people have the gift of faith. Some people have this uncanny ability just to be able to trust God in a supernatural way. I think of George Mueller, who ran an orphanage in England, and how that he fed hundreds of orphans, and how that he had to just supernaturally see God provide on a daily basis. And if you ever get the opportunity to go back and read the life history of George Mueller, man, you need to take advantage and read that, because here was a great man of faith who had this gift of faith, this supernatural ability to be able to trust God. And then some people have the gift of discernment, and that is the enablement to discern or distinguish between truth and error, to discern even spirits. You know, sometimes people can tell when something is not right about a certain situation. They just have this this ability to be able to sense, well, you know, something is not lining up here. Something is not right. Well, you know what that is? That's the gift of discernment. And then we talked about the power gifts. And the power gifts would be healings, miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues. And then even one has identified apostleship, and that is the divine ability to start and oversee the development of new churches or ministry structures. So, you know, we've divided them into these three categories. But once again, our emphasis for this series has been on the serving gifts that help us to serve. Now, real quick, before we get into the message today, we kind of gave a little overview of spiritual gifts. And the first thing that we said is that spiritual gifts are received at salvation. That the moment you get saved, if you are a child of God, then you have a spiritual gift. You don't have to go tarry for it. You don't have to go wait for it. You don't have to go pray for it. But the moment you got saved, if you're here today and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a spiritual gift. You need not look to your left or your right and say, he got it or she got it, but you need to say, I got it. If I'm a Christian, you have a spiritual gift. We see that gifts are given at God's discretion. You can't choose your spiritual gift. God gave you the gift that he wanted you to have. God equipped you with the gift that he wanted you to have to serve in the body. Some of us have more than one spiritual gift. You know, you just don't think that you have to have one gift. Some have more than one. And the gifts have been given to serve others. And we said that the spiritual gifts are not the same as natural talents. You know, somebody might be a great athlete. Somebody might be a good singer. Somebody might be a good a plumber. And those are all natural gifts. But we see that these spiritual gifts are not the same as natural gifts. These spiritual gifts are what we would say are promptings, these desires to serve God in a certain way. Spiritual gifts should not lay dormant. You should use your spiritual gift. God did not give you a gift for you to sit on it. God gave you a gift for you to use it. And your gift indicates your purpose and your call, especially in the body of Christ. That if you are a Christian and you have a gift, then that indicates what you should be doing in the body of Christ. And we said that if you have a gift and you don't have love, that your gift is meaningless. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, he said, though I have all gifts, though I can speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, I'm just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. So if you have a gift, it should be used in love. And then the final thing that we said about the spiritual gifts is that all of us one day will have to give an account for our gift. You're going to have to stand before God. God has chosen you. God has given you a gift. And you're going to have to stand before God and give an account of that gift that God has given you. Now, as we think about spiritual gifts, and, you know, we've been talking a lot about how Satan attacks the gifts. You know, we said that even people that have the gift of prophecy, that have the ability to be able to proclaim the word, that sometimes Satan will attack that gift. And what will they do? They'll go around beating everybody up, right? Beating people down, beating them up. So we need to understand that the gifts need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. That Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, that if you have a spiritual gift, that you should allow, once again, who brings a spiritual gift? The Holy Spirit. So what should control the spiritual gift? The Holy Spirit. And where do we read about the control of the Holy Spirit? We read in Galatians 5, where it says love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All these things should control your gift. So as you operate your gift, you should be right in Galatians chapter 5 and allow Galatians 5 to control your gift. And as we look at the gift today, we see that we come to the place where we are looking at the gift of giving. What is the meaning of the gift of giving? This is the divine sensitivity to recognize needs in the body and the ability to meet those needs with joyfulness and liberality. God has blessed some people in the body of Christ to be able to meet the needs of others. I heard the story about a man who was asked, how could you give so much to the work of the Lord and still be so wealthy? To which he replied, he said, I shovel it out and God shovels it back in. And God has a bigger shovel. Amen. Amen. God has a bigger shovel. God will give to you if he can get it through you. If you see the people that have this gift of giving, God knows that he can trust them with what he gives them, because he knows, you know, he's going to meet their needs and he's going to take care of everything that they need, but he knows that they're going to get it out to where it needs to go to be a blessing in the kingdom of God. And that's why some people, God would not trust you with this gift, all right? And the reason that God would not trust you with this gift is because if you had it and he started pouring in, then you would just start hoarding it up. You would start keeping it to yourself. Y'all heard this story about this lady, a missionary lady named Sadie, I believe I'm pronouncing her name right, was Seeker, and she just loved books. She loved books, and she used to loan out her books. But there were several books that she cherished, and there's several books that she really held near and dear, and she kept them at a footlocker at the bottom of her bed. And for years, she had loaned out these other books, and they kept coming back, and she loaned them out, and they kept coming back. And one evening, she heard a noise in her locker, and she opened up the footlocker, and what happened was the termites had got into the footlocker and chewed all of her books, and all that was in there was a pile of dust. You see, what she had given away, what she had loaned out and kept in circulation was still gone, but what she had hoarded for herself just turned into a pile of sawdust. And it's a sad commentary that God's people sometimes, that we have the gift not of giving, we have the gift of receiving. But not only the gift of receiving, but the gift of keeping. And God looks down at some people and he says, I know I can trust this person. I'm putting this person into a place of responsibility because I know I can trust them. I know that if I can get it to them, I know they're going to get it to where it needs to go. So God blesses some people with the gift of giving. If you look in Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 4, we looked at this individual last week, so we're not going to do as we have been doing over the past couple of weeks in reading people's bios. But last week we studied Barnabas, especially when we considered the whole idea of encouragement. And we talked about how that Barnabas was a person of encouragement. But not only was Barnabas a person of encouragement, but Barnabas was also a giver. He also had the gift of giving. Remember what I said. Now, some people can have more than one gift. And so Barnabas not only had the gift of encouragement, but him and many people in the New Testament church had the gift of giving. Look in verse 32. It says here, and the multitude of those that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power the apostles witnessed of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made that every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. People with the gift of giving. The first thing that we see is that they have an unselfish spirit. People with the gift of giving have an unselfish spirit. Look what he said in verse 32. And the multitude of those that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. An unselfish spirit. They had an inward perspective on things. They said that they were of one heart and one soul. They were internally, they were connected with one another. There was an inward perspective. They felt the needs of their fellow brothers and sisters, and they knew that they had a need, and they felt it in their heart. There was the inward perspective, but there was also the upward perspective. And what was the upward perspective? And that is, and I love this right here, the New Living Translation says this: they felt that what they owned was not their own. Wow. See, we give 10% and then we keep 90 and think that we can do what we want to do with the 90%. But we got the wrong idea. You see, God is just as concerned about the 90% that you keep as the 10% that you give. And when we give unto the Lord, we need to realize that God still owns the 90%. And that he is not only Lord over the 10%, but God is Lord over the 90%. So these individuals had an upward perspective, and they said that the things that they owned was not their own. They held everything loose. The car that I drive, it's not mine. The house that I live in, it's not mine. If God wanted to, he could take it away today. You know, just turn on your news. Just turn on your news and look at the news and see how many people are losing things, losing possessions. And I know that it's not God that's taking it. So, you know, sometimes the devil will just come and snatch stuff from people. But people are losing houses every day. People are losing cars every day. People are losing jobs every day. And we need to realize that we need to have, like they have, the upward perspective. Because you see, if I understand that I don't own it, that God owns it. I remember my pastor in Colorado. He had a car, and his wife was driving. Somebody had just given him the car, and he was driving it. She was driving it down the road, and she wrecked the car, totaled it, totaled the car, but she was all right. And I remember I was young in the faith, and, you know, sometimes when you're young, you say things that are stupid, you know. And I said to him, I said, Pastor, I said, I bet you sure are sorry that, you know, that your car got wrecked. And he said, Bill, he said, I'm just glad that God wanted me to have a wrecked car and not a wrecked wife. You see, he realized that that car belonged to God. His wife belonged to God. But that car was just a possession. That he didn't own it, that God owned it. And if we talk to the average person, if we talk to the average Christian, you know, we are holding stuff just like this. We are holding it, and we are holding it so tight that if God had to, like Corey Ten Boom said, she said, I hold all things loosely. So when God gets ready to take it, he doesn't have to pry my hands open. But if you're trying to hold it, some people say, man, people hold a dollar so tight that they can hear the eagle holler. You know, that's how tight that they hold on to stuff. You know, you got to hold it loosely and realize that God owns it all. And not only that, but they had the outward perspective. And what was the outward perspective? They saw the needs of their brothers and sisters. Yeah, I thought about it. I said, you know, really, the fact of the matter is that we just live in a selfish society. You know, we live in a society that's just selfish, where everybody wants, as I said before, to get all they can all they get, and then sit on the can. And here, you know, these individuals, they were given. They saw the needs of their brothers and sisters, and they just gave. I like the poem that I've shared with you before. I had a little tea party this afternoon at 3. 'Twas very small, 3 guests in all, just I, myself, and me. I ate all the sandwiches. Myself drank all the tea. 'Twas also I that ate the pie, now pass the cake to me. And that's the way that it is. It's all about us. It's all about us. You know, one thing, and I realize this, that when you are dealing with something, it's hard to be concerned about other people. The last 3 weeks, I've been sick. My wife knows how sick I've been. And I've had a constant headache, 24/7. I went to the emergency room on Monday. They gave me brain scans and everything else. And, you know, people was calling me and saying, Pastor, can you pray for me? My wife was calling me, pray for my sister. And I was just thinking, man, you know, I need somebody to pray for me. I mean, I just need somebody to pray for me. And even though I was hearing the cries of other people, and even though I understood that, you know, there was other things going on around the world, you know, but at that time, that's what I was dealing with. And it was hard for me to move away from my own misery and my own suffering that I was in. But, you know, the Lord spoke to my heart. And the Lord said, you got to keep going. Yeah, I mean, you got to take care of yourself. But you know what? The world don't stop just because you got a headache. And but yet and still, when we come to that point, it seems like it's all about us. And even when it comes to this thing of giving, you know, it's all about, well, I got to take care of me. I got the financial headache. You know what I'm saying? I got the financial headache, and I got to take care of me. I got to take care of myself. I can't be concerned about others and other people and other things. But God is saying that you have to learn how to have this outward perspective, that even though you might be going through something yourself, that you got to find a way to reach out of your pain. You got to find a way to reach out of your pain and your suffering. And you know what? When last Sunday when I preached and I went back in my office, man, I was done. I was done. But yet and still, when I was up here, my head was hurting. But I didn't think about that. Because I was given. Bible study. Same thing. I was given. And for just that while that I was, for just the moment that I was given out, man, God somehow gave me some relief in what I was going through. At the time that I was given out, God enabled me to take my mind off of my situation and be a blessing to someone else. And I'm here to say today, saints, that we can get so myopic in our own financial problems and our own financial situations that we fail to reach out and try to be a blessing to other folks. Sometimes we need to realize that maybe our deliverance out of our financial situation is being a blessing to somebody else. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, he said, well, whatever you sow, that you're also going to reap. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given back to you. Now, I, once again, I'm not one of these guys that believe in this name it, claim it, blab it, grab it theory. I'm not, that's not where I'm at.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Gift of Giving. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, The Gift of Giving, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request The Gift of Giving, or program number 080413. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request The Gift of Giving, or program number 080413. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.